Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's Intentional Grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, Intentional Grounding, episode 68. You know, I got to give some love to a guy that is off in San Diego. The Matt Slauson episode.
You miss Matt Slauson.
I do miss Matt Slauson.
You think the Bears miss Matt Slauson?
You know what I got to say? Ted Larson and Eric Kush actually, they've been pretty impressive when they've had to fill in.
Actually, very good.
Yeah. But come on, Matt Slauson was a pretty,
yeah,
pretty good, reliable offensive lineman. But I think we both miss him in the locker room to talk to because he was always...
Well, he won the Good Guy Award. And if you don't know this out there, whoever wins the Good Guy Award, you are as good as gone.
Yes.
So
wait, who have we had? We've had Ryan Mundy.
Ryan Mundy.
Matt Slauson.
There was another one there.
Who was the third one? Josh McCown?
Yes, Josh McCown.
That was the first one.
Yes.
So when McCown, Mundy, Slauson, all three gone.
Gone. So
after they won the award.
The nominees are – I got the email about the voting for the Good Guy Award last night. I'm thinking Tracy Porter or who – we should ask, who don't you want on this team next year, everybody?
Because we have the power
yes.
to ship a guy out.
Whoever gets voted the immediate Good Guy Award winner is 100% out that door.
Bye-bye.
So
should we just like do it – should we vote for Jay Cutler this year?
No, come on. He's actually been pretty good with the media.
Well, I know.
He was nominated, I think, last year. I think Matt Slauson barely beat him out.
I have no problem if Jay won the award, but yeah. He might be a guy who goes bye-bye then.
Uh-huh.
It'll be interesting. But, yeah, Matt Slauson was the Good Guy winner and was shipped out of here.
Yeah, in the locker room, that's known as as good as gone award.
Yeah, I think it's just a weird coincidence, but... Hey, we'll see if it's 4 years in a row now. This is Intentional Grounding, episode 68, as we jump into week 13 of the NFL season already. You follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. You can read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com and subscribe for free on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. And we thank you for leaving your reviews and rating the podcast on iTunes. Helps get more exposure and helps grow the pod. So if you enjoy it, please do us a favor and get on iTunes. All right, let's jump right in with some of the news this week. So, as banged up as the Bears have been, and they lose yet another guy this week in Danny Trevathan, they could be getting a guy back. Kyle Fuller, who is back practicing with the team. He's technically not activated to the active roster yet. The Bears have 20 days to do so. Mm-hmm. It was 21 starting the clock yesterday. Do you think he comes back this week, and what do you think Kyle Fuller can give to this defense?
I think it's very important, and he should know it's very important for him to come back this year. The Bears have until March to decide upon his fifth-year option for 2018. Is that correct? Yes. He's lost a lot of faith. The organization's lost some faith in this kid. I mean, let's be real about it. He's gone from – I mean, how fitting is it that his first game possibly back is against 49ers, and that was his breakout game a couple of years ago, yep. right?
Against Colin Kaepernick.
You know, he has the ball hawking skills that the secondary lacks, but he's just been, when your coaches are describing you as inconsistent, when your veteran teammates are openly questioning your work ethic, and they're comfortable questioning your work ethic on the record to the media, that's not good. I mean, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors with him in those meeting rooms. Maybe he's zoning out. Maybe he's just doesn't show as much care as others do. But look, this is a very talented player. They need him to be more workmanlike. I mean, what can he bring? Look, obviously he has a knack for getting to the ball, but he also has a knack for blowing his coverages. We saw that last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think that it's huge for him to get back as soon as possible and to string together five good football games if he can do it, if he can be back by Sunday. Because I don't think that this – look, this regime did not draft him. Mm-hmm. They
kind of liked them
coming out. Well, was it Pace or Fox?
Fox said
that, you know, it sounded like he would have drafted him in Denver mm-hmm. had he been available. Now, he wasn't where they were picking, but I don't think he was just saying that to say that. If I remember right, he kind of went out of his way to say, hey, this is a guy we like coming out of Virginia Tech and somebody they would have liked to have. Now, things are different, though, a couple years later when you come into this organization and you inherit a guy you didn't draft. And he hasn't really performed or lived up to, you know, the number 14 overall slot that he got picked at. And also, look, there was a, I can tell you, they weren't on the same page with this injury in the preseason. It started with something else during the OTAs, and whether the Bears wanted him to play through it or he was trying to, I'm not sure, but they were not on the same page, and ultimately it got down to, all right, got to get this thing cleaned up. If you remember right, Kyle Fuller didn't make that trip to New England, mm-hmm. and that's when he had that knee scope done. Now, both sides thought he was going to get back. That's why he didn't go on IR right away. He was inactive for the first, three games of the season before he went on IR?
I want to say two, maybe
Yeah, he went on IR September 28th.
Yep.
But they wouldn't have kept him on the active roster if they didn't think. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know why.
Well, they needed the roster spot. If I recall correctly, there was a number of injuries that kind of built up on the Bears. And they didn't want to waive a bunch of young guys.
But obviously the scope didn't go that well because it wasn't even just a matter of them having a disagreement, okay, we're putting you on IR, because they're bringing him back. And not only that, he was eligible to play last week, mm-hmm. and he still wasn't able to come.
He was
back.
Eligible to practice 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and
yeah.
you didn't see him out there.
So that tells you that he, you know, hasn't been healthy.
Yeah.
Because I think any wane of the possibility of Kevin White coming back ended a while ago.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like they were waiting to see what was going on with Kevin.
Right.
Which was a possibility. I mean, mm-hmm. there was a time when I think they were one of the two and they weren't sure. Mm-hmm. But I think it's been evident for a few weeks now that Kevin White wasn't coming
yeah,
back.
Yeah, that's becoming a slow and arduous process for Kevin White. As far as Fuller, I wonder how much of this is actually on him. You know what I'm saying? So much of it, you know, you see like a Jay Cutler do everything he can to speed up his recovery. Pernell McPhee, who is dealing probably with the worst knee issue than a Kyle Fuller, doing everything he can to make sure he at least gets on the field and contributes this season. I'm not questioning Kyle Fuller's willingness to try to get back here, but maybe I am. Was he doing everything he possibly could to make sure he feels at least right in his mind? Now, right is, that's a fluid term. I mean, I don't know if you're ever going to feel right in football, knowing how violent and combative, using John Fox terms, this game can be. And no one's 100%. It's the cliche, right? But, you know, how much is this on his willingness to maybe play through a little pain or play through a little discomfort in his knee?
It could be.
And if that's there, I mean, that could be an issue for him, you know?
Yeah. and it certainly could impact the way the organization looks at him going forward. So, but look, if he can come back and perform, that changes a lot of things,
yeah.
Right? And he still does have a year left on that rookie contract. The way this has gone so far, I think that fifth-year option's, why would they pick it up?
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense for them to do so. But we'll see what he can do here. Now, the other side of this, by the way, do you think he plays this week?
No.
You don't think
so?
No.
I mean, it could change by Friday. If someone listens to this on Saturday, maybe it's completely different. But
yeah.
Look, talking to him, albeit briefly, yesterday in the locker room with the rest of the media.
He doesn't say much.
No, he doesn't say much. Didn't seem overly positive. Vic Fangio didn't seem overly positive. John Fox, I mean, he doesn't say much about injuries to begin with, but even he, there's a hint of pessimism in his voice. So, but this
which is weird. Yeah. I mean, knee scope in August. Why is this still a day-to-day, week-to-week thing?
That's why I think it's...
But if
some of it's got to be on the player, right?
I agree, but then why? I mean, I guess they don't have any other option to bring anyone else back.
But from IR,
yeah,
you know, Danny Trevathan ain't coming back.
Well, right.
You know,
I mean, why else would the Bears be going through his exercise then if they can't rely on whatever Fuller's thinking in his head?
Right. I do believe Kyle Fuller will play again this season.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think they'd be going through this exercise
if
he was.
I don't think he does it this week. I mean, it may turn out to be the final four games, final three games. And even then, even if he is activated, he's behind Bryce Callahan, Kayvon LeBlanc. DeAndre Hall is working his way back in that lineup. You know they want to roll for him. So, look, he's got to not just feel right. He's got to perform right in to Vic Fangio's liking to push out those guys for playing time.
That's a good point. And if you're going to make him a healthy and active, then why add him to the roster? You could wait a week or two to do that, right? So
yeah,
if that's your plan. So the deadline will be 3 p.m. on Saturday to activate Kyle Fuller for Sunday. So if you don't see that happen by Saturday at 3, then it won't be happening this week. And it's DeAndre Hall's definitely an interesting guy too that you want to see out there at some point. And well, we'll see, because you're absolutely right. I mean, they like Kayvon LeBlanc, they like Bryce Callahan, and I don't think they're just going to bump Tracy Porter out of there just to get some of these other guys playing time.
No,
Porter's your best corner and is still playing at a high level despite dealing with his own injuries. So the other side of this though, as we close the book on Kevin White's 2016 season. Another first-round pick that is just not going well.
Yeah.
Different reasons, different circumstance. You know, you go back to what Curtis Johnson was telling us at the bye week when we had a chance to talk to the assistant coaches. He really believed that Kevin White had turned a corner right before he got hurt. Starting in that Dallas game, that Kevin White was starting to get it, because we saw how raw he was the first couple games of the season. He didn't really seem to have confidence, didn't really seem to be on the same page as Jay Cutler. And all of a sudden, it took this shift, right? Almost when Brian Hoyer came in.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And he looked good, and then all of a sudden, he got hurt. That was against the Lions, right?
Yep. Kind of an awkward-looking tackle, got twisted up. It's bad luck.
It's bad luck. I don't know what to make of this kid. I see talent. But I think it's far from a guarantee, both from a health standpoint and from what we saw the first couple of weeks, where he just seemed kind of lost and lacking confidence.
Yeah.
He's a hard worker. He's a good kid. I think he does believe in himself. But, man, to have these two injuries to the same leg in the first 2 years, it's tough.
Well, the way I look at it, forget about him learning the route tree and things like that. Physically, he's just not going to be the same receiver. I just don't see how, when he's got a metal rod, a plate, and screws all within the same small vicinity of his leg. We talked to Dr. Neil Gadadra. I mean, a guy who's worked with a couple local professional teams here. He's going to have some residual effects maybe for the rest of his career. It's going to take a long time to get that leg up to equal strength of the other. It opens the door for more injuries. Look, best case scenario, at least in my mind, for Kevin White right now, is whether he could be a serviceable number two receiver. I think that's fair. When you draft someone number seven overall, you're thinking big time star, right? I think right now the Bears would be happy if he comes out to be or produces like a number two receiver.
Well, if that's the case, then they need to re-sign Alshon Jeffrey.
Probably.
Despite the suspension, despite the injuries and his lack of availability the last couple years.
Alshon's only 26 years old.
Yeah, I think that's the right move to bring Alshon back. And I would pay him, I think I would even pay him $13, $14 million a year. They have the room.
If they do put the franchise tag on him again, what's that, like 17?
17.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So I think the long-term deal, you're probably looking 13, 14, somewhere around there per year, maybe 12. I don't know. That's more of an off-season conversation. But I tend to agree with you. Maybe Kevin White will surprise us, but I think what you just said is the way the Bears should be looking at him. In terms of his new ceiling. It's unfortunate. It's bad luck. That should not be the ceiling for a number seven overall pick, but it's just the way it has worked out. And then a smaller news item with your latest first-round pick, Leonard Floyd. He's back at practice, limited, still in the concussion protocol, can't face any contact, at least as of Wednesday. We'll see if that improves throughout this week. But decent chance he could come back this week maybe against the 49ers. So at least you got that first-round pick. Things are still looking up for him. And Ryan Pace is probably praying to the football gods and thanking them that Leonard Floyd's injury wasn't more serious than it was, because that was certainly a scary situation in New York a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think with him, I don't know if there's any – look, he's kind of a soft-spoken guy. I think he's got that – there's a different type of tough edge to him that he doesn't really show, but it's there. Maybe you see it on the field a little bit, but I there'll be a little hurdle for him to get over with this. Get the first couple plays out of the way, get his first tackle out of the way. There's always that feeling in the back of your mind, especially when you're getting carted off. So do I think he'll respond and finish strong this season? I do, but let's get those first several plays out of the way and make sure he could be right mentally.
But as you're searching for storylines in these final five games, that's at or near the top. Leonard Floyd's continued development. You want to see him really kind of explode because the jump for him from year one to year two, the expectations are going to be huge, and they should be huge for a top nine draft pick there.
Right.
And so we'll see if he can get back on the field Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, let's jump right into this game. Huge draft implications. The 49ers at 1-10 coming into Soldier Field against the Bears, who are 2-9. So theoretically, the Bears could pull into a tie record-wise with the 49ers if they lose this game.
Yep.
It's a noon game Sunday on Fox. The Bears are a one-point favorite right now.
1 point? I saw it go from 3 to 2.5, now to 1.
Yeah. So things swinging the 49ers.
People like the 49ers.
49ers way. Real quick, because we're at the point in season where I've been tweeting out and kind of following the draft order to clear this up, because I know I don't know if it's confusing. It's just sort of surprising that this is the way it's done. I think to people that don't really follow this that closely, head-to-head does not matter at all in terms of tiebreakers when it comes to records. So the Bears and Jaguars currently have the same record. The fact that the Jaguars beat the Bears earlier this year...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't give them the tiebreaker over the Bears. And actually, intuitively, even if that was the tiebreaker, then technically the loser of that game should get the better pick. Right? Because you're trying to reward the worst team.
Right.
So that's why they don't do that. It's strength of schedule. It's the winning percentage of all your opponents throughout the season that determines the tiebreaker. And again, it's the worst team that gets the better pick. So if you had an easier schedule and had that bad record,
you're the worst team.
You're the worst team out of those two. The team with the harder schedule that had that same bad record, well, they've had the harder schedule. So theoretically, they might be a better team. That's just how they do it. It's not perfect, but You got to figure out some way to do it. So that's how it is. The Bears right now, and the Bears and 49ers, as of this moment, are in a virtual tie, strength of schedule-wise. The Bears are just slightly worse. So theoretically, they could have the tiebreaker, but all of it changes every week. So the point is, draft pick-wise...
You're confusing everybody.
I know. I know. But every week, because your opponents win, they lose, your whole strength of schedule changes. The Bears, if they lose this game, could move up to the number two pick.
Mm-hmm.
Could move up to the number two pick. I don't know that that's going to happen, though. I mean, I've looked at this game. I think the Bears are actually the better team. I've been searching for ways to have the Bears lose. But let's dive into this. Your two big questions for this football game on Sunday.
Who the heck is going to catch the ball? Daniel Braverman? He's up.
Nice scoop this week.
Thanks. You know, because every little bit counts in a long season like this. But let's be honest. The Bears should have beaten the Titans. Matt Barkley beat the Titans. He beat them twice.
Yeah, but...
He hit Josh Pellamy in the middle of the, in his numbers.
I really... Okay, yes. Technically, that's what happened. Yeah. I still...
And technically, they still lost.
I can't get over the fact, though, that the Titans were basically blowing out the Bears.
Yeah.
And it's the soft coverage by the Titans that was pretty inexplicable. But maybe they just don't... I don't know.
Well, their secondary is awful to begin with.
Right. If they lose that game, though, the criticism in Tennessee must have been through...
Yeah, I mean...
It probably still was for the way they should have lost that game.
They were still dialing up pressures in the fourth quarter. I mean, once they got that first touchdown, I mean, people look at the... Look, the Bears' first touchdown drive of the fourth quarter. Yes, it was soft coverage. But things... They move those guys up. Dick LeBeau dialed up some pressures. But then, anyway, against the 49ers, who's going to be the Bears' receivers in this one? Can Jordan Howard respond from his two bad games of drops? Can Josh Bellamy, who's going to be out there? Can Cam Meredith, who's going to be out there? Can they be better in this one?
So this is John Fox says it all the time, right? It's a production-based business. Is that how he puts
performance-based.
It? Performance-based. Performance-based. Bad performances by wide receivers last week. Daniel Braverman gets called up. Does he get those reps immediately? Why not? You got to see what he can do,
yeah,
right?
He should.
I mean, is he getting Josh Bellamy's reps? Is he getting Deontay Thompson's reps? I think he's getting one of the two. Mm-hmm. Marquise Wilson deserved enough playing time. What about Cam Meredith? He's been pretty bad lately.
Yeah.
I think Cam's probably still out there. I think Marquise Wilson's, he's their number one wide receiver right now.
Yeah. You know, he looked pretty good, too.
So I think Braverman comes out and is in the slot and gets some playing time in this game. And the one thing is he's a good route runner and he catches the ball. He's undersized, though. So the question is, can he overcome that size limitation in the NFL?
Well, if you're going to have a first game against anybody facing the historically bad 49ers defense, is a good opportunity for the young guy to get his feet wet.
My first big question is, can Matt Barkley play better early on in this game against tighter coverage? Talked to him about this yesterday, and he said that, I mean, they're pretty much expecting to see a lot from what they saw against the Titans early on. A lot of cover one, some quarters coverage in the back. And we saw him struggle early on in the football game against that. Can he improve? Can he build on what he did in the second half? So that's my big question. It would be, I guess, a significant development if Matt Barkley can put together another solid football game here. Yeah. Now, we also have to keep in mind the opponent. The 49ers are the worst defense in football. But that's even more reason why it's important, I think, for Barkley to not struggle. If he comes out and struggles against his defense, that's pretty demoralizing, I think, for the offense.
Right. So that goes back. We have a similar question. Mine was, can Matt Barkley's decision-making be better? Because let's be honest, those two interceptions he had, move on. Throw the ball away. You don't have Jay Cutler's arm. Don't try to force the ball into windows where the window is shut. You know, it's the linebacker completely read his past, Ben Broniker and Cam Meredith, there were two guys around him. You don't make that pass. So to me, I'm going to write this column maybe for tomorrow after talking to Dal Loggins today. Today is Thursday. To me, people are wondering if Matt Barkley could be part of the conversation for the future. And it comes down to, at least in my opinion, his decision-making. Because Brian Hoyer changed the conversation about the Bears quarterback situation because of his decision-making. Now, if Matt Barkley doesn't, if he checks it down more, doesn't force the ball, I think he could, if he starts to play like Brian Hoyer, then we could start being real about him being part of that conversation next year.
All right, my second question, actually about the 49ers and how they're going to handle this weather this week.
It's going to be snow.
But do you realize what they did this week?
They stayed in Florida, right?
Yeah. So they played the Dolphins.
God, to be one of those beat writers.
Right? Get a week in Orlando?
Yeah.
So they played the Dolphins in Miami on Sunday. And instead of flying across the country back to San Francisco, they traveled to Orlando. Which I find, I mean, I guess Chip Kelly's trying to like build some camaraderie among the team, get them away from their families for a week. If I was a player in the middle of a 1-10 season, I'd be not so happy about this.
It'd be a little change of pace, though, wouldn't it be? Changes the routine.
I read a story that said like the players are kind of split on this. A lot of them are not happy. Probably the older ones that have families.
Families, yeah.
The younger guys probably don't care too much.
Right.
Get a week in Florida.
Go to Disney World. Epcot Center.
Like the amount of time. By the time you load up a plane and fly to Orlando, it's a short flight, but I mean, you do all that. It's really only like a 4 or 5 hour difference just to go all the way home. And then you spend the whole week at home. And they still got to fly from Orlando to Chicago.
Right.
I don't know. Whatever. That's what they decided to do. And here's the thing. Florida is having a lot of humidity this week. It's still Florida. And they've been practicing like 85 degree humid weather. They're going to come to Chicago and it's supposed to snow on Sunday.
Let's see. I'm pulling it up. I do remember seeing the flurry icon in my...
Yeah, it's supposed to be like mid-30s with some snow. You know, kind of a snow, wintry mix type of day. Classic early December Chicago weather. I think it's a factor. Not that, you know, practicing in Santa Clara is much different. It's less humid, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's probably more like in the 60s. And they get some cool weather depending on when you're practicing. Weird decision to me for the 49ers, and I do think it will play a factor in this football.
But the overall point being is you got a warm climate team coming to an outdoor stadium.
And for some reason they decide to practice an even warmer climate this week.
Now Chicago's
That's my point.
But you know, if this global warming, if it's, you know, we've had 60 degree days all the way up until this point. So
did you see my two trees outside?
Yeah,
I still got leaves
on. You haven't had fall yet here in Vernon Hills.
Half the trees are green still, and Vernon Hills stopped collecting yard waste this week. What am I supposed to do? I got two trees full of leaves.
Just when you go by and see your dad in the city, just bring the bags, throw them in there. Yeah, the city of Chicago will take care of you. You know, you were a resident before. But, but that's changing this weekend. It's changing right now. It's cold. The wind, I mean, it gives you that shiver down your back. Yep. The Bears have the heaters on the sidelines at their practice. They are wearing hoodies. You know, John Fox is wearing a winter coat.
Well, except for Daniel Braverman, who was out there in shorts and a t-shirt yesterday.
He's from Mr. Michigan. He's ready, though. Yeah. Logan Paulson also had short sleeves.
What a badass.
I think someone was in shorts, too. But either way.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
That's how you do it.
Yep. Yeah.
You just got to. You don't care about the weather.
No.
You play in t-shirts.
That's a macho thing. I know how it goes. But you know all the linemen won't be wearing sleeves come Sunday. Anyway, good point, though. It's going to be a factor, especially when those guys are standing around the sidelines and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to
bold predictions.
I got two here because it depends on something that happens. Okay, it depends on if a player plays.
Who's that?
Kyle Fuller.
Okay.
If Kyle Fuller plays, my bold prediction is that he picks off Colin Kaepernick. This is his guy that he picked off twice. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have some swagger, some confidence in this game. Pick off Colin Kaepernick. Now, if he doesn't play, which is certainly a possibility, I'm going to say that Matt Barkley throws for three touchdowns again.
Okay.
For the second straight week. That's my bold prediction. So, maybe both will happen. Probably not. Our hit rate on our bold predictions is basically 0%.
We're just being too bold?
We've been very bold.
Not bold enough.
And then the one time I hit it, you talked me out. You made me make it bolder.
Yeah, man up. Man up. My bold prediction is that the Bears receivers will combine for one drop. Now, drops could be a debatable stat, but they'll have just one egregious drop.
Well, they only had 11, right, coming in the last Sunday?
Yeah, but they had 10 in.
So 11 in 9 games, or 10 games. So, I mean, a little.
See, drops
over
are
one.
A mental yeah. thing, and drops can continue. Look at Jordan Howard. Look at Jeremy Langford last year.
Yeah.
You know, it's a trend that it takes more than an afternoon with the jugs machine to get rid of. You need to actually do it in the game, right? You need to mentally get yourself right. So I think for whatever reason, maybe it's just a bad 49ers defense, that the drops, while in the back of their minds, won't happen this week.
All right. Let's move on and go ahead and pick this.
Predictions.
I have the Bears winning. I tried to find ways to not have them win. But the reality is this 49ers team has given up over 41 points three times. They've given up over 30 points in all but three games. Okay? They've given up more than 23 in all but one game. And somehow they shut out the Rams in week one. Their only win in the season. Which is just god-awful reality for the Los Angeles
Rams. Kaepernick didn't start that game.
No, he didn't. But this defense is not good. Okay, their best performance was probably only giving up 24 points to Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. All right, and 3 weeks ago, they only gave up 23 to the Cardinals, but the Cardinals have been having their issues too.
Yeah, They're not who we thought they were.
They're not who we thought they were. They're just not. Denny Green, RIP, baby. All right. I'm going with the Bears. I'm going to go on the low side in terms of what the 49ers have given up. I think the Bears scored 23 points.
Okay.
All right. I think with Leonard Floyd probably maybe coming back, we'll see later in the week. I only have the 49ers with 17. So 23-17 is what I'm going with. I don't feel great about it. I don't know how you can feel great about picking the Bears at this point, but.
Well, we're picking between a 2-9 and 1-10 team. Is that right? You know, it's.
It's ugly.
I got the Bears 24-20. Why? Because the 49ers are a really bad football team. I don't care how good Colin Kaepernick's been for fantasy teams the past 4 weeks. I don't know if he's going to be a fit there, even though he seems like he would have all the right physical ingredients to be Chip Kelly's quarterback in that offense, but not a good team. Their defense, like you said, is horrendous. Bears 24-20, and they secure a third or fourth pick in the draft.
Still probably going to be top five no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
It would be surprising if they're not. So.
Hey, I booked a hotel for Philadelphia already.
Wow. I should probably get on that.
Not cheap.
Oh, here's another thing that came up in the media room yesterday. Something to keep an eye on. If the Bears were to lose this game, even if they don't, it's a possibility. There's a chance the Bears could be asked to coach in the Senior
Bowl. Oh, yeah,
we
talked about that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if they'd want to do it. I think Pace would really like it. I'm not sure John Fox would.
Yeah, Pace would like it. I'm sure Fox would come around. Well, the other prerequisite is to have the majority of your coaching staff still intact.
Yeah.
And I think, well, who's in the mix here? Chip Kelly, what does he do with his staff? Gus Bradley and the Jaguars, that's going to be a thing that's got to be rectified, you think?
Usually as a base rule, it's the two worst teams that don't fire their head coach.
Right.
Now, you can turn it down. Mm-hmm. I think Lovey turned it down a couple years ago with the Bucks. So you don't have to do it, but that's usually the pecking order and how they ask you. So the Browns, they're not firing Hugh Jackson.
They should take it.
They're probably gonna be one of the coaching staffs, unless they decide not to. And then the 49ers or the Bears would be next up. Assuming Chip Kelly doesn't leave. Yeah. So it's interesting. Jaguars probably gonna have a new head coach though.
I don't know why you would turn it down. It gives you it's a more intimate scouting evaluation.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're actually coaching these players up instead of just talking to them in a meeting room when they're like, all these players are so prepared now by their agents that it's hard to get a good grasp on what's real and what's not.
Right.
That's why these guys, these scouts now are like investigative reporters. They have to just dig and dig and dig and dig. So, I mean, you talk about the Cowboys, they had an intimate relationship with Dak Prescott. Now they still...
And they weren't even on the same... They didn't have Dak.
No.
Dak was on the other squad, so it wasn't even like they were coaching him every day, but still with the extra access and just being out there, they, in the game, they felt like they saw something in Dak. Now, obviously, the one thing people forget is that the Cowboys still passed on Dak a bunch of times in that draft, too.
Including in the fourth round.
Right.
But
still, we talked to Jason Garrett earlier in the year when the Bears played the Cowboys, and he said that the Senior Bowl was a factor in why they ended up
And he was, in the other staff, but he still had, better access to the player.
Well, and the Jaguars have been, 3 or 4 years in a row now coaching in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah.
And they've if you look at their drafts, they have, and especially in the mid rounds, pick guys that Gus Bradley coached in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Perfect example is Telvin Smith, who was a linebacker that I really liked at the Senior Bowl a few years ago, just seeing him up close, and the Jaguars liked him up close. I think they didn't pick him until the third or fourth round because he was more of a middle round prospect, but that's actually been a good pick for them.
Yeah.
The guy they like. So to me, it would be a big advantage for the Bears if they're invited to coach in the Senior Bowl. They should do it.
It's more work. It's more work for us. We'll be there for the full week then.
Yeah.
Through the game.
Probably. But it'd be, I don't know. I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be cool even for Bears fans too.
Yeah.
To kind of get that sort of extra game, you know, in the middle of the playoffs that they won't be in for sure. But something they kind of keep an eye on in January. So we'll be watching that closely. And speaking of John Fox... What does the fox say?
I don't know that I've ever seen receivers catch more balls than our guys do in practice. What the fox
say? John Fox channeling his inner Mark Trestman there.
I'm trying to envision what he was, you know, maybe they're making these amazing acrobatic catches, or maybe he's...
I didn't see a single drop yesterday in the small portion of practice.
I saw some bad passes, but...
Come on, John. That's not what your fans want to hear.
Yeah.
After you drop 10 passes in a game.
Great week of practice.
Yeah. Look, though, the drops have not been a problem for this team this year until...
Well, I think it's for Jordan Howard, though.
Oh, that... Yeah, okay. That's...
You know, this is... He can't let this become a thing. It became a thing for Jeremy Langford last year. And remember in the offseason, he said it stuck with him in his head.
Yeah.
You know? Drops become, if forget the physical quality of actually bringing the ball in. It's a mental thing, man.
It is. And, Jordan Howard's got to kick that. He's the only one where I look at it and it's like, that might become a habit. The other stuff last week was first of all, it's guys that are undrafted free agents supposed to be special teamers.
Yeah.
And although Marquise Wilson's in the corner of the end zone, that's a guy you don't want dropping that pass.
Right.
That's a play. I mean, they all got to make the play, but that's one going forward.
Yeah.
That's an interesting guy.
But that's still, in terms of degree of difficulty, comparing that catch to the Bellamy and even the Deontay Thompson one.
Yeah.
Wilson catches for a guy who hasn't been on the active roster.
That was a pretty easy catch.
Come on.
It hit him in stride.
It did, but it was still, if you're ranking
the Bellamy's was the easiest. I would put Wilson
second
and then Thompson, because Thompson was still going to the ground. He still should have caught it. Hit him in the hands.
Hit him in the chest. Yeah.
But all right. Let's dive into our week 13 games here, and you're closing the gap a little bit.
See, you talk smack on Twitter, Adam Hogan. You're gonna pay the price.
I'm gonna keep doing it. It's more fun that way.
I gained on you. It's okay. It's okay.
Let's see here. You picked up two games.
How many again?
On me. Two games.
I was a math major. I wasn't actually, but
I can do that math. My overall record is 55-52-3. By the way, being over 500, that means I'm winning, right? Vegas?
Yeah.
And, gambling? Not that we're putting money on this at all.
Or are we?
I'm definitely not. I don't trust myself. You are below 500, so if you are putting money on these, you're losing. Sorry. Yeah. You're 53-54-3, but you're only two games back. You are 10 games under in the NFL, though. You've made your money in college.
Yeah, even though I did not prepare for this week's college games, but we'll get to
that. Oh, wait a...
Don't listen to me on those ones this week, folks.
All right. Well, at least you're being honest. All right. So you closed two games on me last week. You actually had a really good week. You went 8-2 overall.
Just saying.
Pretty solid week for you, including your lock of the week, the Packers over the Eagles, which was a good call. Okay. This week, we both had the Bears over the 49ers. We went through that. The Cowboys, let's start with the Cowboys and Vikings, which is actually tonight. So if you're listening to this on Friday, this game will have already happened, so we apologize. We'll get through it quickly. But the Cowboys at Vikings in Minnesota, 7:25 p.m. starts on NBC on Thursday, which is tonight. Vikings are a 3-point home underdog here. Mr. Rowley, you can go first.
The whole point of me catching up is going off your picks, but okay. Okay.
yeah, but now it's too close.
Look, how inspired can the Vikings play? That's the question, right? Yeah. They've been struggling. They're not winning. The Lions got the division right now. Your coach just had his third eye surgery to reattach a retina. Did I read that right?
Yeah.
Not good.
They're not going to have Mike Zimmer tonight.
Yeah, so...
Mike Pfeiffer, is that how you say his name? Teams coordinator will be the interim head coach against the Cowboys.
So we saw, earlier this year, Jody Camillus filled in for Gary Kubiak. Didn't go Joe D's way. The Vikings have a very good defense. The offensive line for the Cowboys, everybody's in love with them. I get it. They're fantastic. Oh... I don't have faith in the Vikings playing very inspired for their coach. I think their struggles will continue. I think the Dallas Cowboys are red hot. Even giving up the points, give me the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. It's a tough call here.
It's not an easy game.
The thing about the Vikings is, and they have lost five out of their last six games, they've been pretty competitive in all these games. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, they're the loss to the back-to-back losses to the Eagles and Bears in October was when things were really kind of coming off the rails. But they took the Lions to overtime. They only lost by 6 to Washington. They beat Arizona a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but Arizona isn't exactly as...
Right, but it was a convincing win. And they put 30 points up. And then on Thanksgiving last week, on a short week, they only lost by a field goal on the road to the Lions. Now, I'm not trying to give them credit for all this, but they have been competitive. It's not like they're getting the doors blown off them. This is a different animal, though, in the Dallas Cowboys. And it's tough to go against the Cowboys here. I'm going to take the Vikings, though. This is one of those gut feeling games.
You think they could play inspired football?
Maybe. Maybe they rally behind their coach.
It's a thing.
Hospital.
That's a real intangible thing. It is. I don't know, though. Sam Bradford, he's your guy? Okay. Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's tough. All right. Lions will be playing the Saints. This is an interesting line to me.
Ain't it?
The Saints, this is a noon game Sunday on Fox, so up against the Bears. Detroit goes to New Orleans. This is a game the Bears would have been in had the results in Week 17 last year not flipped with the Buccaneers and Saints. But the Lions will go to New Orleans. The Saints are a six-point favorite. The 5-6 New Orleans Saints.
They score.
Against a Lions team that's been playing very well.
I know who I'm picking.
Who are you picking?
Troy Lions.
Yeah.
Can you pick the Saints? Let's do it.
I kind of want to just because this line's so fishy to me.
Okay. I want you to do it.
I don't like that you're telling me to do it.
Well, we got games to gain. Games to gain.
Why don't you get really bold then? Since you're so confident in the Detroit Lions.
Lock it up. Give me some Vince Vaughn.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Since we're talking each other into picks. Right.
Look, the Saints can score. The Lions can score. This is going to be a shootout. What's the over-under? I don't know. I would take the over in this, although it's probably pretty high. But the 6 points. Yes, it's an odd spread because the Saints don't have a winning record, but they do put up a lot of points. It's not like the Lions, though, are going to – look, they play indoors too. So let's get this track meet going and give me the Lions to at least cover that 6 points.
This is just sort of one of those games where I look at the spread, I'm confused by it, someone knows something I don't.
Pick the Saints.
I'm picking the Saints.
Yes, 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 yes. This is how we make our comeback, and he could troll me on Twitter all he wants, and you guys could favorite it all you want or like it, whatever it's called now, that heart thing. Here we go.
All right. Well, you could very well have this be tied up with me by about 3 o'clock on Sunday, or I could be back up 4. We'll see. All right. The Texans go to Green Bay, and the Texans... bad loss last week. Packers come back, get that win
over the
Eagles, and all of a sudden they're a 6.5-point favorite at home. All is right in Cheeseland.
I still don't like the 6.5.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah. What are you doing? What do you got?
I'm going to take the Texans here, I think.
Then I'm taking the Packers.
You're just going to go opposite?
No. I don't like the spread. I don't think... I know what the Packers are saying. We got to win out. That's their mentality right now. You know, I would never count out Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, and even Devontae Adams now, apparently. You know, he's come around. Aaron Rodgers saying he's never lost faith in him.
Actually, before... I'm going to give you a chance to change your mind because I'm going to, too. I'm going to actually take the Packers now I think about this. Aaron Rodgers. What?
Go ahead.
I can do whatever I want. I'm taking the Packers because here's why. Because Aaron Rodgers, what everyone was saying, he was done and he sucks all of a sudden a couple weeks ago, which is just so idiotic. He comes back, he plays so great the other night in Philadelphia. Brock Osweiler, you know how much I love Brock Osweiler. Okay, my love for Brock Osweiler is like my love for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Okay.
Your love for poopy diapers that are eaten by dogs?
Jesus.
That's a side story. Podcast story.
There might have been a crisis inside the Hogue household right before we started recording today. Yeah. But that's how much my love for Brock Osweiler is.
Poopy diapers eaten by dogs.
Yeah. Right there. So this may be 6.5 points. The Texans' only road win this entire season was in Jacksonville, okay, against the Jaguars.
Who are bad.
And it was only 3 points.
Yeah.
Give me the Packers.
Okay, well, welcome aboard the Packer-mobile, whatever you want to call it.
The poopy diaper?
Mobile? Yeah. I mean, the Packers are going to make a run at this. I don't think they're going to run the table, but they're going to make – this is going to be an impressive finish for them, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to, okay, let me just go ahead and do this, too, for the Pack.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
All right, moving on. Giants at Steelers. 3:25 kickoff Sunday on Fox. The 8-3 Giants are a 6-point road underdog here. Steelers favored by a touchdown.
I don't know how you felt about when we were in MetLife Stadium. But that is one of the worst winning football teams I have ever seen. They're not good.
Wow.
They're just kind of just hanging on.
Yeah.
Are they not?
Yeah, I wasn't all that impressed. No, I'll agree with you.
They just win somehow, and that's part of the NFL, just winning somehow. But this is when they come back to reality. Give me Big Ben. Give me the AB. 6 points is a lot, and the Giants do manage just to hang around. But I think they come down and maybe get their butts kicked a bit this week.
Yeah, the Steelers with two convincing wins the last 2 weeks. Granted, they played at Cleveland and then at a Andrew Luck-less
team
last week in Indianapolis. But Scott Tolzien played okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like the Colts were completely had no chance, and the Steelers came in and dominated 28-7.
Yep.
So two convincing wins after a 4-game losing streak. But I remember saying this a couple weeks ago as we were breaking down the Steelers. That 4-game losing streak at Miami, against the Patriots, at Baltimore, against Dallas, that was a hard stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they were competitive. And
they were missing Big Ben for a couple of those games, were they not?
For one of those games against the Patriots, they didn't have him.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm here with you. I think the Steelers are a better team, despite what the records say. I think the Steelers are better than the Giants, and I will agree with you here.
And of course. Steelers. Okay. What else we got?
The final NFL game is the Panthers at the Seahawks. In Seattle, the Seahawks are a 7-point favorite here. This is the Sunday night game. 7:30 Sunday on NBC.
Seahawks did not look good last week.
No. But the Panthers haven't looked good all season.
Yeah. 7 points is a lot of points, though.
It is a lot of points.
Are you losing faith in the Seahawks?
I don't know. I mean,
The NFC's weird this year, man.
You know, every NFL team is, I guess, allowed to have a bad week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bad week. I mean, losing to Tampa, only scoring 5 points.
Yeah.
14-5. That was pretty pathetic. But they had won 3 games in a row, including at New England. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago. I'm picking the Seahawks here.
Really?
Yeah. I think coming back home, prime time, they've been playing well before that clunker last week. They'll be motivated to prove themselves, and Carolina's just, that's just a mess team.
Yeah,
I know it's 7. The only reason I don't feel good about it is 7 points, but I'm still going to take Seahawks.
You know, I actually agree with you. It's a tough place to play. Part of me just wants to take the Panthers to be different because we've agreed on a few games, and we do have our little competition going here.
You can still tie this thing up, though. We differed on 2 games.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll take those 2 games. Give me the Seahawks. Tough place to play. I do think they're a better team than what happened against the Buccaneers. I mean, that was, I don't know what that was. I needed Thomas Rawls to go off for me in fantasy, and he just completely, you know, ate a stinky poopy diaper. So
how about the Bucs, man?
Yeah.
They got 3 wins in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't give them enough credit going into that Bears game. No. Then they go to Kansas City and win. And they've beaten the Chiefs and the Seahawks last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The Chiefs just had
an impressive win against the Broncos.
I bet you no one in Tampa thought they would win either of those games.
Right.
And they won both.
Here they are now. They're 6-5?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Good mood. And maybe that's why Chip Kelly wanted to stay in the Florida area. Get the good vibes. Jameis Winston. Maybe not, but...
I bet you he wishes he had Jameis Winston.
I bet you he does.
Or Marcus Mariota, his former quarterback at Oregon.
I think nearly the entire league, minus a few teams, wishes they had Marcus Mariota.
Except for the guy who tweeted at me this morning saying that he's not a winning quarterback because his record's like 5-15 or whatever it is, which is just the most idiotic tweet I've gotten this week. We should make a segment out of that.
Yeah, we should.
It'd be too hard to pick, though.
I could read emails I get.
Oh, God.
Those are fun.
That's why I don't give my email out. You want to complain to me
Come right at me on Twitter, baby.
Find me on Twitter. I'm not giving you my email. I'm not giving you my email. Sorry. It's 2016.
Well, we should do that. Maybe next season. Emails to Adam. Anyway, we're getting away from this. Seahawks.
All right. Let's get to the games that really matter this weekend. All right. Fun weekend of college football. Championship Saturday. I can't wait for it. Although I'm actually going to go to a Wisconsin basketball game on Saturday afternoon. So I'm going to miss some of these.
Where at?
They're playing Oklahoma in Madison.
All right.
Be a good game.
A little two-hour drive for you. Catch the Badgers basketball.
I just realized that Oklahoma basketball is going to be playing at the same time as Oklahoma football. Mm-hmm. No one's going to be paying attention.
Yeah.
Maybe the players won't be paying attention. Maybe Wisconsin will just blow them out.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, I said it before. The only game I got to really research a bit is the Badgers Nittany Lions. So
okay.
Well, what do you got here?
We're going to save that one for the end. All right? We're going to start Friday. Friday night. I love that they went back to this Friday game because it was so stupid. That I think it was last year where they had the Pac-12 championship up against the Big Ten and ACC championship games. The first few years they had played this thing on Friday night, and it was great to have a big game on Friday night. So it was an 8 p.m. Central start Friday on Fox. It's number 8 Colorado versus number 4 Washington. The Huskies is 7.5-point favorite. This game will be played in Santa Clara. Neutral site game for the Pac-12 champion. Colorado's good, man. Colorado's a good team. I'm surprised that this is 7.5, but Washington's been playing well.
You're rooting for Colorado. Let's just be honest. Let's just get it all out there.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
You need Colorado to win for the Badgers to have their chance at the Final Four.
Yeah.
So you're picking Colorado.
probably because of the point spread. I don't think Colorado's going to win the game, though. Washington's a good team.
With a good quarterback.
Very good quarterback.
Who's not coming out, though, right? He's only a sophomore?
Yeah, I don't... No, he's not coming out.
Right.
But 7.5 is still a lot here. And Colorado's been playing very, very well this year. They held their own against Michigan earlier in the year. They've only gotten better since then. So I'm gonna pick Colorado to cover the 7.5, but ultimately I think Jake Browning, the Washington quarterback who's played so well, is gonna lead this team to a victory and the Pac-12 championship.
I'm gonna take Washington because I think there's gonna be a lot of heartbroken Badger fans in the Midwest this week.
You just like keep trolling me, and I think every time you've done that, picked against Wisconsin this year, you've lost.
I'm not picking against Wisconsin. I'm just picking.
Okay. You're just picking against Washington. You're picking against Colorado because of your thoughts on Wisconsin.
No, I think Wisconsin is going to beat Penn State. But
don't you want your sister to be happy?
No. I have a sister at Madison, but
all right, you're picking Washington.
I'm picking Washington.
Okay. Yeah. We can move on. All right. Saturday, now moving to Saturday, this is an 11:30 start on Fox. Bedlam, number 10, Oklahoma State on the road at number 9, Oklahoma. Huge rivalry game and a weird 11-point spread, in my opinion. This game is being played in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's a road game for the Pokes. But 11 points, that's a lot here in a rivalry game. I'm taking Oklahoma State. This is going to be a shootout. Neither one of these defenses is very good. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. And I'm going with my rules here. Rivalry game, two good teams, 11 points. Picking Oklahoma State.
I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan.
Mm-hmm. He might have an outside shot to win the Heisman.
Yes, I think he's got 41 total touchdowns right this year.
Look, Lamar Jackson had a great start to this season, and he was probably the best player in football.
He's electric.
But his team has been horrible the last 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and he hasn't been that good. If he wins the Heisman, and he probably still will, It's like the most anticlimactic Heisman I can remember. It's just, it's a weird race this year. And
well, the two players people wanted in that race, Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, aren't in it.
Neither's JT Barrett.
Yeah.
Who's another guy out there at the beginning of the year. He hasn't played all that well, despite Ohio State still being number two in the country. Baker Mayfield with a huge game could still have a shot at this thing. So it's something to keep in mind here.
I like him in this game.
Okay.
I love the little edge to him. You know, I know he's going to go back. I don't know what his ceiling would be as an NFL prospect. He's got a little enjoy his swagger. My phone's going off again. Give me Oklahoma.
Okay. And by the way, I realized going back to that Washington game that I basically just used the same logic I used last week with Washington State, which totally backfired on me. Rivalry game. Yeah. No. Colorado's better than Washington State, I think. Oklahoma State's going to play better than Washington State did. I'm just hoping here, guys. All right, let's see. Next on our list, another championship game. By the way, real quick, do you realize with the Pac, the Big 12 next year is going to have a championship game, but they're not going to do divisions? So they're just going to have the number one team play the number two team within the conference. The last 2 years, that would have been Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. So they would play each other and then play each other again the following week. Why is the Big 12 so dumb?
It's a good question.
They always got it. Why do they make things so hard there? I don't know why they do it. But
specifically them, you know, as opposed to the other big conferences, right? I always feel like they're
behind on the times.
Yes.
They're losing teams to other conferences. They can't figure out if they want to add anybody. Now they're finally instituting a championship game after backfired on them a couple times. The College Football Committee wants you to have a championship game. Now they're doing it, but they're not going to do it the correct way. And they're essentially going to have a team potentially beat another team in the last week of the season and then somehow have a rematch. And let's say Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State. Okay, Oklahoma's better, right? Okay, but then they're going to play each other again the following week. Let's say Oklahoma State wins. And all of a sudden that win matters more than the last one because it's a championship game. And I don't know. That's just stupid. Okay, moving on to a real championship game, ACC Championship. This one will be played in Orlando. They moved the ACC Championship to Orlando. Clemson needs to win this thing to secure a playoff berth, just like Washington needs to win their game to secure a playoff berth. If they lose, they're probably out. They face a tough Virginia Tech team, number 23 in the college football rankings, Virginia Tech. 7 o'clock start on ABC. This will be going up against the Big Ten championship game, so you have to do some channel flipping here. Virginia Tech is a 10-point underdog. So Clemson is favored by 10 in this game.
Well, I like Clemson winning. I mean, I don't think Virginia Tech really, to be honest with you, I don't think they have a chance to win. Clemson's been good all year. It's like old reliable.
Yeah, right? Well, except for Pittsburgh at home.
Yeah, I know. Give me Deshaun Watson. He's got to go out right in a flurry.
Yeah. Well, if you're a fan of quarterbacks, you probably want Deshaun Watson in your college football playoff.
Yeah.
Okay. And give Bears fans an extra chance to watch him.
Don't forget Bears fans. It gives Ryan Pace an extra chance to watch him, and he's actually seen him in person.
Wonder if he's going to any of these games this weekend.
I'm sure.
I'm sure the Bears will have scouts at them. I'm picking Virginia Tech in this game. I don't know about winning outright, but 10 points. Clemson has played close games all season.
They have.
All season.
They've won them, except Pittsburgh.
The good teams that they've played this year, the games have been close. They've won most of them, except for against Pittsburgh. But to me, that says this one's going to be close, too. I can't pick them to beat a team by 10. So I'm going Virginia Tech. Did you pick Virginia Tech, too?
No.
You're picking Clemson. To cover the 10.
Cover the 10.
All right. We are...
Now, again, you have the knowledge here. I was...
Yeah, but you've been picking better than me.
Well, sometimes you just pick your gut and, you know...
Well, you have a one-game lead on me in college football. But here's the thing. We've differed on our first three games, and you've taken heavy favorites in all three. I've taken the underdogs in all three.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just waiting for you to hear. Adam Hogue is about to rant on Penn State here, folks.
I don't think I'm going to rant.
You don't think they're good?
I don't think they're as good as Wisconsin. So here it is, the Big Ten Championship game, Saturday night, 7 o'clock in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, number 6 Wisconsin, number 7 Penn State. Both need to win this game to have an outside shot at getting in to the playoffs. If Clemson or Washington loses and Wisconsin wins, decent chance Wisconsin gets in.
Yeah. This game is weird to me, just in general. You know why? Because I think Ohio State and Michigan are both better than both these teams. I really do. I know Ohio State lost to Penn State. I get that. But Ohio State is number 2 in the country still for good reason.
Well, Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten,
yes,
I think.
Yes. But these, in my opinion, like you said earlier, every team has like a bad week. In Michigan and Ohio State have had their bad weeks, right? But this is their third and fourth best team in this conference. So not a championship game.
Either. I think the separation between Michigan and Wisconsin, though, is not as big as people are want it to be.
I think Wisconsin's number 3.
Because Wisconsin did lose to Michigan,
yep.
And you can't throw that. That is a thing that happened, and you have to count it. You give Michigan credit for winning that game. But it was a 14-7 game that Wisconsin was competitive the entire time, and they were the only team for a long time to even give Michigan a game.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, and it was on the road. They played pretty well defensively the whole time. And offensively, they're a completely different team than they were back then.
Yeah.
They have really gotten better throughout the season, and I think Michigan has actually gotten worse.
No, they have. I'm guilty of overrating Michigan. I mean, their quarterback is
So in a discussion of head-to-head, I still give Michigan that edge. But when you factor that in, that Wisconsin's probably gotten better since they played and Michigan's probably gotten worse, I don't know how you can't put the conference champion over Michigan.
Okay.
Are you really going to put – Big Ten is the best conference in football this year. You're going to leave out the Big Ten champion to put two non-champions in? I don't think the committee is going to do that.
What you need was – you need either Clemson
or Washington,
to lose. Okay.
But the argument is if that happens, does Michigan go in over Wisconsin or Penn State? They beat both of those teams head-to-head.
Yeah.
Well, and Colorado, because if Colorado beats Washington, they're going to have their case.
Yeah.
Michigan beat Colorado. They beat all three of those teams head-to-head. Early in the season, they blew out Penn State. Colorado gave them a game for like three quarters, and then Michigan ended up winning comfortably. Wisconsin probably gave them the best game.
Okay.
That was all earlier in the year. But again, I don't know how you can leave out the champion of the best conference in the game for two non-champions in that same conference.
It's bad for business.
And I don't think the committee's going to do it.
No.
They've already proven that they value champions.
Yeah.
Michigan is correctly ranked above those teams right now.
Yeah.
You look at the resume, the fact they beat them head-to-head, but people assuming that that means that they're going to move up instead of Washington or Wisconsin or Penn State, just because that's how the rankings are today, I think that's a wrong assumption. Because the championships have not been determined yet. They'll be determined on Saturday. And whoever that champion is, I do think leapfrogs Michigan.
The old argument, it's not how you start, but how you finish.
Now, to Penn State.
Here comes the rant, folks.
Give them all the credit in the world for winning the last 8 games.
This is him saying with all due respect.
And last 2 weeks, hey. Well, really the last, look at these scores, the last 5 games. They put 62 on Purdue. Purdue sucks.
Oh, come on.
But 62. Yeah. 41 on Iowa. That's pretty impressive.
That's good. Yep.
45 on Indiana. Yeah. 39 on Rutgers. Yeah. 45 on an awful Michigan State team.
So the only good one there would be Iowa.
Those are their 5 games since they beat Ohio State on a fluky block kick. They won the game.
It is what it is.
It's a great win for them.
Ohio State did not play well.
It's the reason they're in this conversation. But it was a weird ending at home night game situation, just like Michigan having to go on the road to Iowa. Still, you got to win the game. and Ohio State didn't. Penn State did. I give him credit for it. If you look at some of these analytical numbers, okay, there's something ESPN has. It's called game control. And it basically shows you like how dominant of a team you are, mm-hmm. sort of how much of the season you have been in control of your games, winning, losing. Like for instance, last week Wisconsin against Minnesota, they were not in control of that game until really their defense took over midway through the third quarter. So this stat kind of, this analytical number kind of takes that into account, and a lot of it has to do with your win probability throughout a game. The easiest way I can explain this is Penn State's average win probability this season is only 57%. In other words, through all their games, at any given moment in all their season right now, they've only been favored to win that game 57% of the time. So almost half their season, they've actually been in danger of losing any given game. Compared to other teams, like Wisconsin's at 68. I think Alabama's at like 76, to kind of put that in perspective. That's an indication that Penn State is not as good as their record shows.
They're beating bad teams.
Other than Ohio State.
Yes.
I think Wisconsin's the better football team in this game. I think they have the better defense. I think they're going to make it really hard for Penn State to put up 62 like they did at Purdue. All right? So I think Wisconsin's the better football team here. I think the spread's 2.5. Wisconsin's favored by 2.5. I think they're a field goal better than Penn State.
Yeah, no, I like the Badgers actually big time in this game. I don't think it's actually within question. It's whether or not they can have the dominoes fall where they – need be. Scoreboard watching, starting Friday night.
Well, thank God that these three games aren't all at the same time.
Yeah.
So you're going to have Washington. Like, Washington could lose Friday night. That could completely change the dynamic of Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
If it does.
Could you imagine the message before that game, though? Basically, you win, and you're most likely in.
Probably. And I don't know if you follow the site 538.
Yeah, I do.
They have a really cool... I didn't know about this till yesterday. Someone on Twitter sent it to me. Good tweet of the week, we'll call it.
Tweet of the week.
It is a kind of a probability calculator mm-hmm. that you can simulate who wins and who loses this weekend, and it shows you the probability of what the Final Four will look like. The numbers are overwhelmingly in Wisconsin's favor if either Clemson or Washington loses. They're not Michigan's favorite at all.
Yeah.
So
it goes back to your point. It's the consideration of the title.
Yeah.
Being a championship football team instead of second best or whatever. Yeah.
And it even opens up, and this surprised me, it opens up the possibility of Ohio State not getting in if...
Say
everyone wins. Say
now, Mike Adams was screaming in the locker room at me yesterday. That would be the Bears' veteran tackle. That there's no way they're out. They're in.
I agree. I think they're in. But there was a scenario. Let's see if I can open this real quick and do this. Okay. Yeah. All right. I have it in front of me. This is the 538.com college football predictions. We'll do this quickly. Alabama wins, right? They beat Florida. We didn't even pick that game because it's a 24-point spread, and Alabama's going to win. All right.
Yep.
It's among the games this weekend. The SEC championship's actually not that important because even if Alabama loses, they're in. All right. Let's say Clemson wins, too. Let's say Washington wins. Now, you would think in that scenario, it's going to be Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Washington. And I agree with you. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
But with a Wisconsin victory... they're still giving Wisconsin a 23% chance of getting in over Ohio State. Now, that's not a lot. That's not a huge.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're even opening up that door.
So what does... it's going to be a convincing win, right?
I would think so. I mean, they're still giving Ohio State an 83% chance of getting in with all that. But it is... it's just... there is that like slight doubt of what the committee might do. And how much they value conference championships.
Right, right.
But my point with the conference championships, I do think it's valuable, is if that is the end-all be-all, well, then you just need to eliminate teams that don't win their conference champion. Like, there has to be a team that can get in without winning the conference champion. And if it's not Ohio State this year, who is it? Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
I mean, there has to be an exception. And to me, Ohio State is definitely that exception. And the thing is if that scenario plays out where Alabama, Clemson, Washington, and Wisconsin all win this weekend, sorry, Badgers, you lost to Ohio State. You had a lead in the fourth quarter on your home field on primetime, and you blew the lead and lost in overtime. Ohio State deserves to get in. I think...
Big Ten title and all.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
Okay. That wraps it up. I can't wait for this weekend of mainly college football. NFL?
It is kind of a blah.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 68 of Intentional Grounding. We appreciate you listening as always. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. You can read us, WGNradio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com. Subscribe on iTunes. Please rate and review the podcast there. Any final thoughts?
Not one.
Way to close strong.
Stay hard, my friend.
All right, we'll talk to you on Sunday after the game.